one we sang. I was thinking about that, Once and For All. You know, the words are by Philip Bliss, 1838 to 1876. And I don't remember which song it was. He wrote many songs. But on the one we sing, if somebody remembers, that's great. Hopefully they do. It's one of the most famous songs he wrote. But he wrote it. He came back. It was over in England. He came back over, and I remember, it's hard to remember all the story, but it's the place where his wife died, and they stopped on that place, and he wrote that song. But I was thinking 1873. I mean, they really had it. They knew what was coming, and they did not get to see. They don't think about it. They didn't even have computers, and yet they had all this knowledge that God imparted upon them. And it's just amazing that he wrote that right where his wife died. He had the captain stop the steamship, and went on from that. And well, let me just say thank you for the delicious lunch. When Brother Crawford talked to me, I said, yeah, we'll just go over to KFC and get some little bit of chicken or something, but I didn't expect that. And so that was really good, and so we really appreciate that. And you know, hopefully, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but hopefully you all read your Bibles. You know, as I read through, I find things, even though I've pastored a long time and done a lot of things, the Lord's allowed me to do things, and you know, I found a verse, I probably read this verse 50 times. I want to read it to you, and you might write it down. It's Jeremiah 51:15. If you ever want encouragement, this is the verse to go to. Hey, anybody tired? Anybody full? I figure, there you go, amen. Hey, me too. Let's just quarter to two. Yeah, we'll be done by 3:34. No, that's what Darren would always say. And sometimes Darren down there, Pastor Goodrich, he'd say that, and he used to get amen. Sometimes he'd go, nobody's even funny anymore. But, but anyway, look in Jeremiah 51:15. Think about this. You write this down. You can look at it later or look at it now. It says, he hath made the earth by his power. He has established the world by his wisdom and has stretched out the heaven by his understanding. What an amazing verse. And that is the God that we get to serve with our life. So if you ever have a depressing day or something goes wrong, look at that. All right, that's not where we're at. We are going to be... I got a long verse for you today. You get ready to stand for a long time? Darren sometimes thinks it's funny. Pastor Goodrich thinks it's funny. He'll have a stand sometimes while he's preaching a little bit. He doesn't realize we're tired. We're old. Anyway, he's old too. He always says, they had a birthday party before we started going there, enjoying there, and he had turned 50. He's always saying, oh, I'm 50. And I'm thinking, brother, I'm 13 years older than you. Stop it. Stop it. He's always talking how old he is. But he looks old. He's had a... Vicky treats him. No, he doesn't. Anyway, if you stand, we're going to be in Colossians. You'll find Colossians chapter 2. Two verses. We like short stuff. Amen? I like that brother that prayed for dinner. Like I said, we had a pastor at Trinity, Dr. Willinger. He was Dr. Gray's associate, and it's funny because he was probably, I don't know, let's go ahead and stand. He was probably 10 years older than Dr. Gray, and he would pray like that. I mean, all his prayers were short and sweet and to the point. Some people like to pray long, fine, especially when you're going to eat chicken. And so, you know, got important things to do. I asked Dr. Gray when we got down to Trinity back in 92, and I said, and he'd been there a long, long time, older gentleman, very wise, and I made this stupid comment. I said something like, so do you know all there is to know about the Bible? He says, son, I haven't even scratched the surface. How to stand, Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Father, we love you. Thank you for the food we had, the fellowship we've had. But Father, now we need some preaching, and I pray you'll help me as I bring across the message you've laid on my heart. Thank you for these dear folks. I pray you'll bless them. We ask you to bless in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Oh, let me tell you. So, Pastor Crawford comes in. So if you want to play a joke on them, anyway. Let me just say, Well, when I came back up from the Philippines, I left on a Friday at 7 o'clock in the morning, and I got home at Friday at 7 o'clock in the morning. Okay, we went back a day, and I felt great. Went through customs at Portland, and I felt great. We were driving down I-5. And I said, hey, let's go to Costco. We get some stuff, and I'm about halfway through Costco, and I go, I feel horrible. I think I need to sleep or something. It caught up to me. So if, you know, there's probably recording, that's okay. Go over when they arrive and, you know, invite them over to dinner and go to their house and spend some time with them. Don't let them fall asleep. They'll probably want to fall asleep. But anyway, and tell them, this is how you stand. You don't need to, anyway, you'll get the drift on that. They'll like that. 1, 2, 3, 4. Only 5 points. We'll be out of here shortly. How to stand. Number one is we need to learn to live in union with Christ. We must be one with Christ. The text says, as you have therefore received Christ. Obviously, if you're going to stand for Christ, you have to what? You have to be born again. That's right. You have to be a new creature. The world doesn't get this because they're not going to. They think they're just fine and dandy doing what they do, accumulating riches, wealth, goods, all the stuff. I read over recently that somebody won the Powerball and won a lot of money, and I was reading a report on my phone about somebody that had won one of the Powerballs, and at 1 year he had over over $1 million worth of cars in his driveway. Well, it lasted like 3 years, and they were living in like a container somewhere, and then dead. I mean, the money doesn't buy the health and the wealth. The text says you become therefore receive Christ. See, we become one with Christ when we're saved. It's similar to living in the state of marriage, like I said this morning. Two individuals commit to each other in 1 Corinthians 6, 16 and 17, but we commit to each other. You know, we commit our lives to each other, just like when you live for Christ, you should commit your life to Christ. Now, are things that come along? Are there going to be bumps in the road? Oh, yeah. Are there going to be bumps in the road with Christ? Sometimes. And is it he making the bumps? No, it's us making the bumps. But, you know, there's a way to smooth it out, and, you know, we find out once you get right, you get living back with God. Back with him, yeah. No longer free to go our own separate ways. You know, being married, I can't just go do what I want to do. She won't let me. No, I can't. No, I don't want to do that stuff. I would, you know, I'd say, oh, come on, grandkids, you can have more food. Allison, when she was about, 9 years old or something, we took her to this restaurant. She goes, Papa, can I have 3 desserts? I said, no, that's too many. You can have 2 desserts. And, you know, amen. She's not going to play me. No. Can I have these donuts? Well, if I can have one too. But, you know, we're no longer free to do our own separate thing, because someday we will answer to God. It says in the book of Romans chapter 14, every knee shall bow. That means everyone that is in here today, everyone that is in the world out there today, everyone, Satan will bow to him. I mean, you can think of anybody in the world. If you were born, if they were born, they will answer to God. He does not forget names. It says, and this is the record that God hath given eternal life. This, the life is in the Son. He that hath the Son hath life. You know that 1 John 5:11-13. God keeps an amazing record, folks. I don't know how he does it. I don't have to know how he does it. I know he does it. It scares me sometimes. You know, but we should still live in union with Christ. Number two is keep your roots deep in Christ. You know, a tree depends on its roots. I did a job this past week down by Moe's, you know, in Lincoln City. And what happened was a tree, you know, the trees, they're good, but they seem to grow, the ground kind of grows up around them. Well, a water service was here. In fact, one of the guys, one of the contractors goes, well, why'd they plant that stupid tree there? Well, I think they planted the stupid house when the tree was there. Because the water meter was back here, and the tree was here, and the ground was coming up like this, and the tree, it was an ugly tree. It was a spruce tree, but it was not a pretty tree. And so 3 years ago, almost to the date, almost to the month, and the date of that month, I had repaired that. Well, 3 years later, I'm back, and now they decided to chop the tree off, and they're doing it. But the roots were watered enough that the roots came underneath the pipe and it split the pipe. Just a little bit. It was very gradual. My point is, look, if you've got a root of sin in your life, don't water that root, because it will grow and it will fester and it may not look bad. I mean, I drove down the street many times by this house. It's down by Moe's on the side street. It just looked normal. I drive by, you know, got a water meter. I think there was a sidewalk. And you get the tree, and you know, I see these things, but it doesn't bother me because it looks normal. Look, don't let normalcy get in your Christian life, and you see, well, it's not that big of a root. Look, if you water that sin root enough, that sin root will keep going and going. They decided to chop the tree down, and I came out. I was doing some other work in the house, and I said, so you're gonna take it all the way out? No, we're just gonna chop it off. Well, that'll pretty much end that, but you know, in 3 years, of course, I'll be retired. I won't care, but that may come back and it'll water. You understand what I'm trying to say on that? But see, the roots, the roots draw life from the soil. Our sin life draws roots from what we put into it. The roots give stability to the tree. Look, be careful what you've got your roots down in. You folks are doing good. You know, don't take this wrong. I don't want to make it sound like that. But the people that were here for the morning service and didn't stay for the afternoon service, their roots are not as thick as your roots. You need to have thick roots. And you need to know when somebody's telling you the right stuff or somebody's telling you the bad stuff. You know, you can listen on the radio. I listened to a great sermon. I was going over to Nesquin on Friday morning, and I just got into the end of this guy's service, and I thought, man, this is great. Well, I was too late to get on there to figure out. I was busy. I didn't think of it until that night, and it was off the family radio or whatever it was. I couldn't get any more. But look, you be careful what you listen to. See, we must keep our roots deeply and firmly in Christ. That's why I start off the services down there at Quinte Bay Baptist Church, and I'm always after the people, not every service, but pretty much all of them, about reading the Word of God. Because you see, we can become so busy that, well, I'm tired, I ate my big meal, and I'm watching TV, I'm watching Bonanza or whatever, and it's time to go to bed, and I'll read it tomorrow. Well, tomorrow comes, and Tuesday comes, and Wednesday comes. Well, I did watch the NASCAR race. I did watch the Indy race. There actually is an Indy race. I like that one too, but I forgot to record that. And there's all these things going on. And I've told people, if you don't know where you are, well, just open to the book of John. It's an excellent book to read. You know, don't start in Ezekiel. It'll blow your mind and you won't read the Bible anymore. But we keep our roots deeply and firmly in Christ. In verse 7, it says rooted. It's kind of funny how it says rooted. We had a tree at our house when we moved in back in, 95, something like that, 2005, 2004. I don't know when it was. We moved into a house and got a lot of stuff in a house. And this tree went up, and it looked really pretty. It was real bushy, and it went up like this and over. And we said, well, we got to chop that tree down. Well, we didn't. We had a guy come in and do it. And the tree went like this. If this is the side of our house, it went like that. You couldn't even tell because it was so bushy. And, it would affect many things. It would affect our roof. I'm afraid it would affect our foundation. We had to take it all the way down, cut it, and do all kinds of things. The text means in roots. In verse 7, it says, rooted and build it up in yourself. No, it doesn't say that, does it? And build it up in Him, in what the Word of God has said. You know, a lot of times, see, we address the Word of God like, I think you have one here, an Izzy's, a buffet, like the kids. Now, they didn't do this, but, you know, chips. Oh, man, chips to a kid is just like strawberries to me, but they would eat just one thing. But when you go to Izzy's, it may not be that much fun, or you go to a buffet, but you need to have a little bit. We even had, next time I go to a buffet, I am going to be in front of my wife, because she did bad today. I'm sorry. I guess she's trying to be proper. We had string beans. They were very good. But, in my mind, I'm thinking, not green beans. Okay, and I'd probably go here. But she had that, and she goes, want me to get you some? Yes, dear. No, they were very good. But, we can't use God's word at a buffet where you just, I like the easy stuff. I like the book of John. Man, it's so good and easy, and 1 John is so good. Well, I don't really want to get into Romans because, it talks about those other kind of people. And look, you just need to use the whole word of God. We're to draw our life from Him. John 15:4. Flip over there. John 15, when it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now he that is clean through the word which I have spoken unto you, abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I know it always sounds like a pruning, but we have a bush in front of our house, and if you look out of our house, look out the window. Come on in. If you look out the window, you've got these big bushes and such. And we notice there's another bush over here, and they're doing a little extra house next to our house. It's called an accessory dwelling unit, like a mother-in-law cottage and such. And they're doing it. And I walk out there, and we're looking, and Pam goes, hey, that bush is dead. Huh. That bush is dead. There's a bush over there, and I don't know. I have a green thumb or something. I don't know. But it's dead. But we didn't, it's going to be pruned at the ground. Don't let your spiritual life get pruned at the ground. Keep it firmly rooted. The Bible says rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith. What's your faith? Is your faith Baptist? Well, my faith is Christianity. My Baptist is what I go by because that's the closest thing to what it is. But listen, it's not because I'm an elk or a an eagle or a moose or a cow or whatever the different ones are. But look, we need to draw our life from him. Number one is you need to learn to live in union with Christ. Number two is keep your roots deep in Christ. Number three is build your life on Christ. I am so fortunate, Pastor brought this out last week, the blessings of God. We were talking about blessings of God. He was talking about the end times. But our daughters are, I almost got the names, Renee, she is saved. Her husband is saved. Michelle is saved. Her husband, Travis, is saved. They live in Lincoln City. Allison is going on 14. She's saved. Evan is about 10 or something. He's saved. Levi's about 7 or 8. He's saved. And Caleb, well, she's not saved because she's only 9 months old. But I'm fortunate that that is, you know, look at my faith, because this is building up and establishing the faith. The things that we were able to learn, we were able to impart to our children. They got saved. They imparted it to their husband. Well, they were saved anyway before they got married. They wouldn't have married them. And then, you know, it goes on to the kids and such. But you need to establish yourself in what's that? And establish in the faith as you have been taught. Look at your job as a parent is to teach your kids. You ladies that are homeschooling and such, or whoever's doing it. You know, we homeschooled. Well, I shouldn't say we. She did. You know, I was the principal. No. But, you know, it's a lot of work. It is a lot of work homeschooling. And as they get now, I know you did it. I know Allison, a lot of the kids, the pastor's kids down there in Newport, they're homeschooling and such. And, you know, they're into this funny math called, well, funny math. I don't know. Algebra and trigonometry and blah, blah, blah. I don't remember any of that stuff, and I don't need to. I have a calculator, so I don't have to do that kind of stuff. But it's a lot of work teaching them. But as you have been taught, you need to teach them. As you have to study, you have to you teach them. As we have been taught the Word of God, it's up to us to impart it to our families, to our kids. You know, when they ask you a question, you don't just say, I don't know. Go look online and get their answer. Well, maybe not. Our houses need to be laid on a strong foundation. House years ago in Nesquen, that the everything in Nesquen. If you've ever been to Nesquen, it's all sand. It don't matter. It's all sand. Well, they built this million-dollar house on the beach. Beautiful view, absolutely spectacular. And they call me up there, and they said, "It seems to be that we have a leak in the garage." Well, I guess they were too dumb to walk out in the garage. I turn on the light, and I walk in the garage, and I go, oh, the floor in the garage went, and it separated about 3 inches. And I asked the contractor, I said, what's underneath this? He goes, sand. Well, you know, there was no sleeve on the pipe. The pipe was going through the concrete, so when the concrete dropped, it went and it took all the plumbing and ripped the plumbing off in the garage. That house is not going to stand because the foundation was bad. And, you know, you could dig down 60 feet, and you have got sand. You're on the beach, basically, and it does not do it. Same thing, Matthew, flip over to Matthew chapter 7. You all know this one. The wise men build his house upon the rock. Matthew chapter 7, 24 through 27. It says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Verse 26, and every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. You know, I had heard on the news, and I did not know this, but Houston, when they had the floods here a few weeks ago, it is set up a lot like Louisiana when they had Katrina. They're below sea level. Now, I'm not a geologist or anything, but in my mind I would think, that's probably not going to be good. And it's not good for them. I feel sorry for them, especially for the Christian people who lost everything. They were showed the news last night or the night before last, and somebody was cleaning out their stuff, and there was a Shelby Mustang, brand new one, in the garage. You all know that if you know cars and such. I mean, all that stuff is just gone. You need to build your house upon the rock of what Jesus has. Life needs to be a solid foundation too. And there is a foundation laid in 1 Corinthians 3:11. Remember that song we have sung before? On Christ, the solid rock, I fall, I stand. That's right, I stand. Number one is learn to live in union with Christ. Number two is keep your roots deep in Christ. Number three is build your life on Christ. Number four is become stronger in faith. Faith means having confidence in God. And I tell people, look, always be in church. Now, you guys are all going to go home tonight. We're going to drive back to the coast. I'm going to church tonight. our church is at 6 o'clock, and I said I'd be there, and Pastor said, well, I'm looking forward to seeing you. Now, I told my wife she'll have to drive home after that, but we'll be fine. You need to be in church as much as you can. You know, well, the people at our church that, for whatever reason, yeah, like I said, last Sunday was just one of those services that it was just a wow factor of 12, and I said on Wednesday, I guess it was, well, if you missed, and there were only a few people that missed, unless you're providentially hindered, which means you have been in the hospital, if you stayed home because you were tired or cold or whatever, look, I'm just telling you, look, as much as you can, be in church. See, it's easy to trust when things go well, isn't it? It's really easy to trust God when things go, man, it's going well, it's so good. Tax bill, is it October already? We have to pay taxes on this place? I don't want to do that. It's not fair. By the way, I don't like paying my taxes, but I do. Things go well. In life, things don't always go well, but faith needs to be strengthened. Romans 10:17. Romans 10:17. What did I? Oh, that's what I wrote. Okay. It says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Look at folks, you won't, you know. Well, I shouldn't say you won't hear it on the radio. You be careful what you hear on the radio, but you will hear the word of God preached at this church. You will hear the God preached at our church. You need to hear the word of God. You don't need to hear people say, well, you're doing good. Everything's going to work out fine. You know, we're not that, some of those churches, I don't want to go there. Okay, and then finally, number five. So first one is learn to live in union with Christ, as the Bible says. As ye have therefore received Christ, Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and builded up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. We need to be filled with thanksgiving. Now, that doesn't mean we need to go home and eat a turkey, but we need to be filled. It's an outward, it does not refer to an outward expression. It refers to an inward expression. You know, I see these people that have lost everything when I've gone to Manila and different places. I mean, there are some poor people. When we went to Samar, now that is a third world, you could almost say it's a fourth world country. It's a third world country. Sidewalks, open sewers going down the side. It's just nothing there. But there's a missionary, Lane Jones and his wife, and they're doing a great job. I used up all my, I took disposable cameras, those little Instamatic thingies, and I used them almost all up in Manila. And they sent two people around town. It took them about 3 hours to walk around town looking for anybody that would sell any of those. They don't even sell those. They don't have any fast food restaurants, which we can live without that kind of stuff. But man, the people were sweet and they were happy and they loved the Lord. You know, sometimes we let our circumstances dictate how we're going to live our life. It should not be that way. It's an inward condition of the heart. This will naturally produce outward expression. You know, your inward will tell you what you want to do outward. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, you know, knocking on doors or going to church or doing anything, just being friendly, playing with the kids, encouraging the kids, you know, not biting off their heads for anything they've done. They don't need that. But anyway, so let me ask you a question. It didn't take for long. You will get home by 4 o'clock, maybe. You know, how are you standing? How are you standing? I like it. It says, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. I look at that song we sang by Philip Bliss back in 1830-something to 1878, something like that. Look at, they were established in the faith. I mean, they really had it together. And yet they were just men and women, just like us. Established in faith, as you have been taught. Look at, when I taught my first class, and I don't remember what that was. I got saved in 84, May 22nd, 1984, probably after that. Maybe a year later, I don't remember. The pastor asked if I wanted to teach a Sunday school class. That probably started all off for me. I was very shy until I got saved. Not shy anymore. And I taught the book of Joshua. And I think it was supposed to be 10 weeks. I don't remember. But it took like 20 weeks. And when I got done, I gave them a test. I'll never forget that. An actual written test that they had to give me the answers to. It was a little weird, but the pastor didn't say anything to me. But, you know, ever since then, things that you have been taught. Look, at you need to get good Bible teaching. And you've got it here. Whatever his name is. Bob, there you go. Pastor Crawford. Yeah, you need to get good Bible teaching. See, the inward must precede the outward. It's got to start in here, folks. Don't let bitterness or anything get in your way. And don't look at a big church and say, well, look at that. In fact, we were driving down, we came and looked at this last night. Grand Avenue. Yeah, they got a Baptist church over there. Pam goes, what happens if they move? Well, Grand Avenue Baptist Church may not be on Grand Avenue. That could be a real problem. But look at you guys are doing great. How are you standing? Let me ask you that. How are you standing? Well, you're not standing because you're sitting. I understand that. But how are you standing in the work of God, in the will of God, in the way of God? Are you where you need to be? Look, it's up to you to make that decision. I preached a couple weeks ago, a month ago, I guess, whatever it was, third Sunday fellowship, the Eclipse Sunday. Anyway, and we'd eaten, and I preached, and I said something about personal preparedness. Look, I have to be saved for me. I cannot be saved for my wife. I love my wife, and I love my grandkids, and the kids. I love them all, but you know, I can't be saved for them. They got to be saved for themselves because. Well, you understand what I'm saying. That's the way it is. That's the gospel truth. Can't read my writing. That's okay. That's okay. How you standing? Hopefully you are standing for God. Let's all stand, heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. Father, we love you. Thank you for this day we've had. I pray you'll help these dear folks. They're doing a great job here. Not because of them. And Pastor Crawford and his wife are doing a great job. Not because of them, but because of you. Father, help us to stand in the gap until you come back. Sometimes it's tough. It says, therefore be rooted up in him, established in the faith. For Father, we know that what we're doing will bring glory and honor to you. And we ask you to bless now. Thank you for loving us in Jesus' perfect, precious name. Amen.